Well, it's lovely to be here and to share with you, especially this particular passage of Scripture. I would guess that there is every likelihood that this particular passage is really at the heart of the letter. I would hazard a guess that there's every possibility that really what this is about, suffering for Christ, is why Peter wrote the letter. That's not to say that everything that precedes this is not significant. It's immensely significant, because it's actually providing the material that will help the readers of this letter, the listeners, as Silas delivered this letter to the scattered churches all over Asia Minor. They listened to this letter. They were going through very tough times, and it was exceptionally difficult for them to be believers in that culture. And so all that Peter has said earlier, mentioning fiery trials at the very beginning of the letter, and how if you're living in a persecuted society, you've got to live at your best for Jesus. Be ye holy as I am holy. You've got to prioritize the love that you have for each other. There's enough hatred from the world outside, so don't let there be anything to divide you. This is all the theme of the end of chapter 1 and beginning of chapter 2, because you're all built into a house. You belong to each other, so you can help and support each other through times of persecution. You can see how this is all related to the suffering theme. And he said, if you're going through tough times, well, Jesus went through tough times. Your great sense of support will come from each other, but the beauty of the example that you want is in Jesus. He suffered for us and left us an example. This is the teaching of chapter 2, as you know, that you should follow in his steps. And then chapter 3 is about the kind of quality of life and the beginning of chapter 4 that we need to have, so that you're living at your best in a persecuted society, and as this morning's reading reminded us, so that when you're accused, it's not of doing any criminal or immoral activity, it's just because you bear the name Christian. Now, I would guess that there isn't a topic of greater significance for global Christianity than this one, about suffering for Christ. I mean, in this treasured country of ours, we've got our complete freedom. I think it'd be a very bold person who would project that that's going to be so forever here. A very bold person. Because countries have changed dramatically, as you know. And in many situations, the change has certainly not been for the best for Christians. I mean, Syria, until we had the Ukraine crisis, Syria was right to the forefront of the news. This is only 10 days ago in the paper. Islamists order Christians in Syria to pay protection tax. They're asked to pay as much as what would be in our currency be £430 a year, which you're allowed to pay in two installments, to guarantee that you'll be protected. Only a week or two before that, Christians still called to die for faith, says Welby. Christians are facing a new age of martyrdom across much of the world, the Archbishop of Canterbury said. Speaking in Turkey, he singled out the persecution of believers across the Middle East and said Christians are still called to suffer and even die for their faith in the 21st century. We're all deeply grateful, I am, to Greg for bringing us the attention of the Christian Solidarity worldwide with its huge and effective and necessary campaign on behalf of Christians all over the world. This is a Christian paper, and this is this month's paper. And this is from the page which is just entitled The World in Brief. And I just spotted one or two things. Bangladesh. Murder. A young Christian man was murdered on January the 11th, and other Christians were attacked by Islamists in Bangladesh in violence related to the country's general election. Belarus, raided. Three Baptist leaders are likely to face administrative punishments after a police raid on a meeting for worship over the Christmas period. People were interrogated and a Bible seized. The police officer who led the raid refused to explain why it took place. Car murder. A pastor and his son, killed on January the 28th, were among the latest casualties of violence in the Central African Republic. India. Gang murder. A gang that knocked on the door of a pastor's home in Andhra Pradesh state and stabbed him to death in early January consisted of Hindu extremists, authorities said. India, murder. A church leader in India was attacked on January the 13th by four men who lured him from his house by pretending they wanted to pray with him. He died from his wounds 2 days later. Iran. Convert jailed. A convert from Islam to Christianity was jailed for a year on charges relating to evangelism activities. Nigeria. Multiple attacks. Islamic extremists have attacked villages in three states in Nigeria on every Sunday in January, killing at least 15 Christians. Syria, beheading. A young Christian man was beheaded on January the 8th by Islamist militants when they noticed the cross he was wearing around his neck. Well, now this is the world we live in. And it would be a very strange Christian, a very unusual Christian, who just said, well, you know, we've got our religious freedom here, so that's got nothing to do with us. It's everything to do with us. And this letter itself, in the next chapter, tells us that we're to look about, think about Christians in other parts of the world, not just ourselves. Resist the devil, standing firm in your faith, chapter 5, verse 9, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And this is what Peter has to say to these scattered troops of Asia Minor who are going through exceptionally tough times. And some of them paying the ultimate price for their faith in Jesus. That was so certainly in the first century, and it has been across the centuries. But the characteristic thing about the late 20th and early 21st century is it has never been so extensive. Never. Now, I know a little bit about church history, and it's never been as extensive as it is now. So, you know, we should respond to the plea of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world to pray for them, to pray intelligently for them so that we know about particular situations, and Christian Solidarity Worldwide will provide you with that kind of information. And it's not the only Christian charity that works along this line, Barnabas Fund and Open Doors and so on. There's room for them all to pray intelligently, to give where we can, to act where we can, because there are opportunities to make a response. And sometimes these governments are very sensitive to a high amount of material post requests and appeals and wisely phrased from different parts of the world. They don't mind doing this in a corner, but we don't particularly want it to be known on the international stage. So these are vital things for us, and to treasure the freedom in our own country. You've got to remember that this country, you say, well, you know, they're lunatics, they're just a few extremists. But there is a lot of radicalization that's going on. We do live in a country where a lad is cut down in the street in Woolwich. You've got to remember that. We are living in a country where some people have lost their lives, haven't they? Been bombed in London on the buses and the underground and so on. Well, it's not a kind of million miles away, and so that you can say, oh, well, you know, we'll never have that trouble here. Nobody could say that. Structures change in countries. Influences can shape policies in different ways. Treasured things in your national life can be eroded. I would guess that our generation may be perfectly okay. I wouldn't like to say that our children and grandchildren necessarily would. Well, this is a very relevant passage of Scripture. And it's relevant not just because there's fierce persecution for those lovely folk in other parts of the world for which we pray, but in this country, people can suffer in different, perhaps not the same kind of physical ways, but there can be other pressures because you're a Christian. Some people have lost their jobs. Certainly people suffered a certain amount of social ostracism, put out of their families because they have faith in Jesus. Well, all I want to share with you this morning, I've quite deliberately introduced it to you in the context of the global church to which we belong. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. They're part of our family. So we can't be indifferent to them. It would be cruel and it would be unchristian to do so. Well, at the very heart of this passage, what I want to suggest to you is there are three great themes, really. The first is about privilege. The second is about promise. And the third is about priority. The first is privilege. What the passage actually says, as you know, is you shouldn't be ashamed of being a Christian. But whenever you go through a period when it's tough to be a Christian and you're suffering because you are a Christian, this is not about the everyday sufferings to which you and I and everybody else are subjected, physical things and whatever. This is about suffering because you are a Christian believer. Well, the first thing is, Peter says, regard it as a huge privilege. Don't be surprised. Jesus warned his disciples that it would be tough. Blessed are you when men persecute you and revile you and say all manner of evil against you for my sake, he said. So persecute, rejoice and be glad. So persecuted they the prophets that went before you. That was the text that Susanna Spurgeon had framed to put above Charles Haddon Spurgeon, her husband's, desk in his study.
So that he looked at that every day. And he did have to suffer because he was a Christian believer and because he was an effective preacher, very much so. He received, there was no end of slander and so on that he had to cope with, apart from very real physical difficulties and a very, very definite experiences of very deep depression that he had to go through. Blessed are you when you're persecuted. Jesus warned his disciples that that would happen. But that this Peter says, look, it's a huge privilege. Rejoice that you're participating in the sufferings of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean to say, of course, that you're suffering participating in the sufferings of Calvary. They were unique. What Jesus did for us once for all on the cross was utterly sufficient for our salvation and all our cleansing, so that we can be eternally forgiven, receiving him as our Savior into our lives and trusting that what he did for us on the cross is for our eternal salvation. We have new life in Jesus. It doesn't refer to that. But what it refers to is Jesus said, well, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Jesus warned his disciples that that would be so. And John 15, it's a key text where Jesus says that that would happen to them. And remember, this is why the world hates you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. They will treat you this way because of my name. Well, that's it. The name to be a Christian. And Peter says, regard that as a huge privilege so that you may be overjoyed when his grace is revealed. Be thrilled with the fact that you wear this badge, that you are a Christian believer. It's a huge privilege, actually, to be a Christian, which is somebody who has Christ in their lives. It's not Christian in the sense that, I remember, you know, doing house-to-house visitation, we used to talk about being a Christian. You say, well, of course I'm a Christian. You know, I was born in England. That's not what it is. It's receiving Jesus into your life. And he says, count this as a huge privilege that you are sharing with Jesus. You'll never be, what he's saying is you'll never be closer to Jesus than when you're going through tough experiences for him. So that's the first thing. Regard it as a huge privilege if you're insulted for the name of Christ. That can come to any of us and come to any of us at any time, but not therefore to shrink into yourself or be afraid or run away from the situation, but to think, well, that's a great privilege. If all it costs me is a blush, that's not much when it's costing others more than a blush, costing them blood, their very lives. And at this very time, not just kind of religious persecution that is in those newspaper accounts I just read to you a few moments ago, but political. They're sure, they are absolutely sure there are thousands of people in work camps and prisons in North Korea. That's political, where it's illegal to be a Christian. You're not allowed to be a Christian. So they're wonderfully brave people to say that they belong to Christ when it's cost them their freedom. Places like North Korea and Burma, where it's not religious, it's political. And there are brothers, our sisters in Christ. Some woman sat somewhere in a cell somewhere in the world, and she has offended her community and her society, so they put her inside. She's going to be there for years. And what's she done? She said she loved Jesus. That's what she's done. So what are we to say to her? Well, she already knows. She knows this scripture. She loves her Bible. She remembers some verses, even if they've taken the Bible away from her, which they probably have. And the verses she remembers is, "Rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. If you're insulted because the name of Christ, you are blessed." So that's the first thing, privilege. And of course, Peter said that in his second chapter. Christ has given us an example that we should follow in his steps, that he was reviled and ridiculed, whipped, physically abused and died. And Peter says, chapter 2, he's left us an example. The word that he uses is the word that you use in the education of the first century world. It was the word that you'd use to describe a word at the top of the slate that you want the child to copy. So say you've got our word ball, where you just put B-A-L-L in bold letters for the child to copy it. It's that word. Jesus is the one to copy. It's to go through this suffering and persecution as Jesus would have gone through it. He's an example. He's the one for us to copy. He's the top line. And what we do in our frail way is to do everything we can to live like him. But it takes me to the second thing, because that's impossible. You just can't live like Jesus. Unless you have the second feature, which takes you from privilege to promise. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Now, this is taking us now from the person of Christ to the work of the Holy Spirit. If you're going through tough times, you've got to remember the Spirit of God, the Spirit of glory rests on you. That word glory is the New Testament word, which in the Old Testament indicated what they call the Shekinah. It was the sense, the wonderful sense of the presence of God that came down on the tabernacle, and they believed was in the temple. It was a sign of the presence of God. So you can go through tough experiences, you can encounter suffering and respond to it creatively, not let it completely get you down, because the Spirit of God comes down upon you. You're not left to cope with it with your own frail resources. Nobody could. But he says, you're blessed. That word blessing, I would guarantee is the most frequently used word in the Christian vocabulary, isn't it? God bless you. Every blessing, you know. Oh, you'll be blessed. That's a great Bible word. It was the word that was given to the priest to pray for the people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his presence upon you and give you his peace. Well, what is it? I mean, we all keep saying it, you know, God bless you. But what do you mean? Well, I tell you what I think blessing is in the Bible. Blessing is God's response to your immediate need. Whatever your immediate need may be, it's the Lord God coming in to meet that need with the particular help that you need, the provision, the resources that you need in those circumstances. And when we say God bless you, it's not just a kind of portmanteau kind of word that is not very well defined. You don't know actually what they do need at that particular moment of time. But the Lord knows, and he meets it with his blessing, which is the provision he has at that moment for that particular need. And that may not be the kind of thing that they think they need, but the Lord knows they need it. So he says, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. Because in that particular experience of hardship and persecution and suffering and difficulty, ostracism, whatever it may be, deprivation, imprisonment, whatever it may be, you will be blessed because the Spirit of God and of glory comes upon you. God will be with you in it. You'll be given all the strength and all the support that you need. So that's the first thing, is privilege. Or you can live for Jesus in this situation. Share the sufferings of Christ. You will be empowered. You will be helped. The Spirit of God and glory will come upon you. And then he says, well, make sure that your suffering is not for any other reason. You know, you're not being punished because going through tough times because you're not living a life that's really worthy of it. But if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but praise God. Glorify God. It's the same word as the Spirit of glory. Glorify God. Give praise to God that you bear that name. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves. Now, this is the priority. The privilege, the promise, the priority. This is the priority. Those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator. He made them. So he knows everything about them. And he knows their frailties and their weak spots and their danger situations because he's the Creator. And they should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Commit yourself to the Creator. That's what you to do. And it's the same word exactly that's used of the Lord Jesus when he died on the cross. The word that he prayed in that prayer from Psalm 31 and verse 5, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So what we're to do when we do go through tough times is recognize it's a privilege to suffer for Jesus. You will be given the power because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. And what you're to do is we are to commit ourselves to the one who made us, our Creator. He knows what we can take. He knows what's the real breaking point. If you've made something, you know what it'll take. My Christian would tell you that I'm not exactly a do-it-yourself man. I really can't make anything, really. I admire these men who can, you know, just put a shelf up and hang a door and make things. The few things I've made have not been a huge success. But when the children were small and we lived at the college, they had rabbits. And in the nice weather, I said, oh, it'd be awfully nice if the rabbits, there were several, about six or seven rabbits, if they could be out in the garden. And in a reckless moment, I said, I'll make a frame, which I did. I got some laths, fairly strong for laths, and wire netting, and with the aid of a few brackets and all that, I put it all together. It was quite good, actually. I was quite pleased with it. And the rabbits could be in this frame. And as a frame for keeping rabbits in, it was great. But one day, I remember the children were out there, and one of them went to sit on it. I said, you mustn't sit on it. Why not, Daddy? I said, look, that's for keeping rabbits in. It's not for sitting children down. It'll break. And I could see it was going in because it wouldn't take it. I'd made it. I knew it wouldn't take it. And God's made us. And he knows what we can take. So he loves us so much. If we commit ourselves to our faithful Creator, he will never allow us to go through something which is totally and utterly impossible, because he'll give us the resources that we need. You know, in the 17th century, John Bunyan, beautiful author of Pilgrim's Progress and 20 or 30 other books, he was in prison for 12 years. Some of you have heard me say it, talk about Bunyan. He could have got out. He could have got out in 20 minutes. All he had to do was say he'd never preach again. That's all. But he couldn't do that because he would call to preach and wanted to share the gospel. And when he was out of prison, actually he'd done his 12 years, later on in the 1680s, it became very, very difficult for nonconformist Christians, Baptists and Congregationalists and Quakers and Presbyterians to be Christian and meet, weren't allowed to meet. Now, it was, you know, it was all the dangers, people reflecting back on the Civil War and thought there might be political meetings. But it was very fierce persecution. You could be fined for being in a meeting. If you hadn't got the money, they take your possessions away. And did. And Bunyan wrote a book which he called Advice to Sufferers or Seasonable Counsel. And it was actually an exposition of this last verse. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. And this is what he says. Nothing can die under a Creator's hands. The cause of God for which his people suffer had been dead and buried 1,000 years ago had it not been in the hands of a Creator. Who could have thought that the three children could have lived in a fiery furnace? That Daniel could have been safe among the lions? That Jonah could have come home from his country when he was in a whale's belly? Or that our Lord Jesus should have risen again from the dead? But what is impossible to a Creator? Nothing. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, in these quiet moments, we especially want to remember in our prayers and remember in love all those many, many thousands of people in the world who at this precise moment are suffering for their faith in Jesus. You know all about them, gracious Lord. We thank you so much this morning that their lives are in the hands of a Creator. We bless you together that in their trouble and distress, some of it really acute, the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon them. Feed into their dear minds today, we pray, the truth of this precious scripture, that they are suffering with Jesus. And that the Saviour who feels everything that we suffer is alongside them. Help them to hear those words again from the story of your servant Paul. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? so that they realize how close you are to them. And we pray that you will come to us in this lovely land where we have our freedom, and that you will give us courage, and that you will give us openness and love and care for others, and be ready as the opportunities come in our life to say that we belong to you and what it means to trust in Jesus. So come to us and bless us. If any of us here this morning are going through tough times because we bear that lovely name, do be specially close to us, we pray. And bless those who need you, particularly at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.